Blog Talk Radio.
Defending conservative values and the Constitution of the United States. You're about to be on the Sig Knowledge Show right here on Blog Talk Radio. Welcome back to this Acknowledged Show right here on Blog Talk Radio and the New Colony Network. You know, tonight we're going to be talking about something that's going to be a real sore subject to a lot of people, and it's going to be real emotional, but it's something that has to do with what's going on in the United States society today and in the world, and that is the fact that Christianity is under attack. Not that it hasn't been attacked before, but today it's being attacked in an entirely different way because we live in a different world than they lived in back in the Middle Ages, for example. You know, there was a time in this country, when we talk about the reverence to God in country, there was a time when there was a universal set of standards in this country, regardless of race, age, ethnicity. There was a universal standard, and that was the respect for God and country and the role that God played in our daily life, in the lives of everybody that we knew, and in the lives of the government officials that we elected to make decisions for us. But today, the mere mention of God or Jesus or religion is not only politically incorrect, it's criminal. The liberals and the atheists have managed to criminalize the very mention of the Word of God or our Lord Jesus Christ. I can remember back. Now, I'm 50 years old. I can remember back into the day that kids, regardless of who you were, or what your economic status were, that you had about three sets of clothes. You had your school clothes, you had your play clothes, and then you had your Sunday go-to-meeting clothes. Now, the Sunday go-to-meeting clothes also were used for any formal function, wedding, funeral, etc. But there was a time in this country when the reverence to God was so strong that it actually dictated your daily life. There was a time in this country when Little girls did not wear pants. They wore dresses with lace and ruffle ends. There was a time in this country when little boys went to school and your hair was no closer than a half inch above the top of your ear. There was a time in this country when you heard the word God, you got silent and you revered the name because you knew who the sovereign king of this country was. And that is the Lord God Almighty. Now, contrast that to today. If you even mention the word God or Jesus or religion or faith, not only is it criminalized, they seek to go after you civilly, as if to say that the mere mention of God or Jesus or religion or faith is somehow criminal. It is somehow antisocial. It is somehow racist and bigoted. That is how upside down our society has become. Now, back in the day, especially on just recently we celebrated Easter, the resurrection of our Lord Jesus Christ. That's right, liberals, I'm saying it to you. We have a sovereign king, and his name is the Lord Jesus Christ. He was crucified, he died, he rose again on the third day. He is the king of the entire universe, and that includes you, liberals, whether you want to accept it or not. And guess what? He loved you too. Despite the fact that you resent and blasphemy every word that came from his mouth. Having said that, there was a time in this country when every little boy on Easter Sunday either went to church with a suit on, and that either was a clip-on necktie or a bow tie. Every little girl wore a long dress that had lace around the collar, the ends of her sleeves, and in the ends of the hem of her skirt. They were not afraid to look like a girl. Little boys were not afraid to look like a boy. Men and women were not afraid to act their gender. Men acted like men. Women acted like women. But now today, we live in an upside-down society where if you dare to act anything that comes close to the norm, you are labeled as racist, bigoted, extremist, uncaring, unfeeling. In short, you're put on the blacklist of society. Now, you have to ask yourself, what the hell has happened? When did this start? How in the hell did we get to this point in history that the mere mention of God or Jesus or the Ten Commandments or anything else that has to do with organized religion has become a criminal offense? And the sad part, it has become that way in the country that was founded on Judeo-Christian principle, that being the United States of America. Now, you have to ask yourself this question. Now, keep asking yourself this question. Now, you're wondering, where did all this problem start? Well, there are a lot of people that claim that when school prayer was taken out of school, in other words, when organized prayer in school, a morning invocation from the principal of the school or a teacher or the superintendent or somebody else in the school that was an adult would get on the intercom of the school, especially at elementary schools, and they would give a morning prayer, an invocation. What's wrong with that? I can remember growing up as a child in the late 60s, early 70s, when I was in elementary school, I could remember the principal of the school, who happened to be a Methodist. His name was Mr. Westbrook, and he used to get on the intercom, and he gave the morning invocation. there wasn't a single kid in the classroom that had a problem with it. There wasn't a parent that had a problem with it. Then after the morning invocation, there was the Pledge of Allegiance to our flag. See, the point being that you render unto God that which is God's, first and foremost, and then you render unto Caesar that which is Caesar's, Caesar being the government. So we rendered unto God our reverence and our thanks to God and our plea and petition to him to look after us on that day of school. There, first and foremost. Then you render unto Caesar that which is Caesar's, the government. We spoke the pledge of allegiance to the flag of our country, the flag that our fathers and our grandfathers fought to protect, and everything that that flag represents: freedom, liberty, freedom from oppression, the right to free speech, the right to bear arms, the right to assembly, the right to redress your government with grievances. There was a lot of men and women that died for that flag. Today, that flag is nothing more than some kind of token symbol of a bygone era past that means nothing to these young people. And that's something that we have to change as a country and as a people. But I can remember the days when you went to church on Easter Sunday, you wore the best clothes that you had. For girls, it was a dress. For guys, it was a suit. If you didn't have a suit, you wore slacks and a shirt. If you had a tie, you wore it. The point being is that when you went to Easter service, you were looking presentable. And this is something that transcended race and ethnicity and religious affiliation. Everyone did the same thing, especially on Easter Sunday. In other words, there was a universal standard of behavior. There was a universal standard, period. What do we have today? We have today, do what feels good to you at the time. In other words, we have a generation of young people that have no concept of the discipline that it takes to revere the Lord God Almighty, to adhere to something and a power that's above you, that is past you. It is more important than you. Not to say that your wants and your needs and your desires are unimportant, but this happens to be something that is above you. It is a service that is above your own petty wishes. But today, it's the me, me, me. What can you do for me? Instead of, what can I do for my country? What can I do for my neighbor? What can I do to make a difference in the country? However small it may be, what can I do to help? Now it's, what can you do to help me? As if you're entitled to something. As if you're entitled for someone, somehow, some way, to come up with happiness for you. Well, I got news for all you sad sacks out there. Life is not fair. In fact, there's going to be more bad times in life than there are good times. Now, you're probably saying to yourself, well, that sucks. Well, guess what? Welcome to the real world. However, what you're missing is that on the other end, after you have persevered all the heinous stuff, there is a paradise waiting for you. But the United States, as a country, it is no mystery why we have declined in the world's eye and why we have declined as a world's power. And the simple truth is despite what you're going to hear from any of the political analysts or political pundits or anything that they're going to say. The fact of the matter is, we are declining because we have turned away from the Lord God Almighty. Now, I'm not on this show tonight to sound like a preacher or an evangelist. I'm just giving it to you straight. This is the fact of the matter. Now, you're wondering, where did all this start? How did all this get like it was? Well, the truth of the matter is that in the early 60s, there were two landmark Supreme Court cases. When we talk about prayer in school, and I'm going to give you the name of those cases, so you can look it up for yourself. We're not going to spend time, you know, we're not going to sound like F. Lee Bailey. We're not going to sound like the Supreme Court or an appellate court here talking about case law and this and that. But if you're wondering what it is, Engvall versus Vitale, 1962, and Abington School District versus Shemp, 1963. These are two landmark Supreme Court cases wherein organized school prayer was removed from public schools. And now you could trace the decline of the society from that point forward. Now, 62, 63, we're talking about the pre-Vietnam War era years. Now, 62, President Kennedy was in the White House. 63, he was still there. But now, you got to remember, and please understand, when I talk about the Vietnam War, I have nothing but the greatest respect and admiration for our Vietnam veterans. They got the rawest deal of any group of veterans alive. Them and the Korean War vets. They call Korea the Forgotten War. But the Vietnam vets, these were men that were drafted to go over and fight communism and fight for the American way of life. They go over, they do the duty. However they did that duty. But then when they come home, they're treated like criminals. People spit on them, threw rocks at them, protested them. These were American soldiers that went over to defend us. While you're laying there asleep in your bed all nice and sound and safe, there was some poor guy named Bob that was over there slugging it out up to his waist in a rice paddy with bullets flying every which way, mortar rounds landed everywhere, and some guy speaking in some Asian language, speaking, issuing orders to have him killed. But yet when this guy named Bob got off the plane in San Francisco or L.A. or Chicago or New York, instead of a hero's welcome or instead of a hug, hello, I love you, welcome home, what did he get? He got, how dare you, you baby killer. I despise you. I hate you. What a welcome home for an American serviceman. We as a country should be ashamed of that. I've did shows about this. Having said that, the Christianity itself is under attack today. And there's no denying it. And by the way, my caller from the 818, I know exactly who that is. Hey, cuz, I'm glad you called in. Thank you for calling in, bud. But where is this attack coming from? Well, to tell you the truth, it's coming from multi-angles, multi-facets. And the truth of the matter is, and what's so sad about it at the same time, it's coming from within our own country. A country that is supposed to be united under God. We have such a division in this country over God and country and religion that in many ways it is making our society unsustainable, where no one can ever get together on anything. So where is this attack coming from? Well, actually, it's like I said, it's coming from multiple angles. Let's talk about the liberals, better known as the Democrat Party. Let's talk about the liberals. Liberals believe that you should be able to do what you want to do, that everyone who has any kind of success outside of the fact of your success, they got it through some type of ulterior motive. Either they stole it, they swindled it, or they inherited it, and they refused to share the wealth with everyone else. In short, liberals or socialists. They believe that what's yours is yours, and what yours is theirs too. So, here we go with the selfish attitude. Now, if they have that kind of attitude where they're no longer willing to accept responsibility for their own life, how do you expect them to have any reverence for the Lord God Almighty? Because they're too busy blaming everybody else for their problem. You know, there was a forensic psychiatrist that wrote a paper that described liberalism as a mental illness. Now, as radical as it sounds, there may be some truth to it. Because we're talking about people who, in their mind, have not got past the age of 12, 13, or 14. Everything should be given to them. They should not have to work for anything. But, as sad as it sounds, and as grim as that sounds, the fact is that there's a whole bunch of them in the country. Now, statistically, no more than 20% of the country admits that they're liberal. They want to make themselves sound like the majority, and they make themselves look like the majority because they happen to have something called the media and Hollywood on their side. But the truth of the matter is they are the minority of the country. But yet, their word starts echoing louder than others. You heard the term, the squeaky wheel gets the grease. There it is. But liberals, they cannot win an argument on the facts. They have to ding a magog, they have to slander, they have to tear you down, they have to lie about you. In other words, they can't win on the facts, so the next best thing is to tear down the character of the person opposing them. That's liberalism. And with liberalism, you have the mainstream media. And in the mainstream media, they make it sound like that if you have any reference to God or country, that you are somehow racist or bigoted, that you are uncaring, unfeeling about the minority that does not believe in God, or the minority that has lost faith in God, or the minority that is oppressed, that is sad, that is excommunicated, that is exiled. It didn't used to be that way in this country. It used to be that we all had a universal set of beliefs. Whichever denomination or religion that you're in, whether you're a Catholic or Methodist or Baptist or Lutheran or Episcopalian or Presbyterian, but everybody believed and they adhered to the word of the Lord God and of our Lord Jesus Christ. Because we are a country founded on Judeo-Christian principle. Now, despite the fact that the liberals hate that and they're trying to tear that down, there's nothing they can do to tear apart the fabric of the Constitution of the United States, which was written and founded on Judeo-Christian principle. But today, and with the liberals, since they control Hollywood and the press, they are going to go out of their way, if anything, to save their own ass, to show everyone that if you are in an organized religion, whether it be Lutheran, Methodist, Catholic, etc., that you are somehow racist, and you are somehow bigoted, and you are somehow unfeeling. Liberalism, it's one of the big problems with the people in relation to the country and the government and our reverence to God and country. We have a right in this country under the First Amendment of freedom of religion. But the problem with liberals is that they are all for freedom of expression and freedom of rights as long as they say it's okay for you to have it. In other words, they're hypocrites. They're bigots. But yet they want to call the conservatives the racist and the bigots. Funny, huh? I'm sure that's lifting an eyebrow to you. Who are the first people to yell foul? Who are the first people to yell racism, bigotry? It's the liberals. And it's their doctrine, and it's their belief, and their mannerism, and their ideology that is getting in the way of America getting back to our Judeo-Christian principles, our reverence to God, first and foremost, and then our reverence to country. Because you'll notice that when we were a new country in the 1700s, our founding fathers were experts on the Bible. They could recite it backwards and forwards, inside out, sideways, upside down, whichever way you want to take it. Many of them were Freemasons. But the point being is that they were dedicated Christians. And everything that they wrote and everything that they did was based on the Judeo-Christian principle. And that is one of the reasons why the United States became a country, because of our reverence to God, because we submitted to the power of our Lord Jesus. As such, we reap the rewards. Now, we're reaping the punishment for turning away from him. As I said, I'm not trying to get on the show and be an evangelist, but I'm giving it to everybody straight. Unless you're right with God, you're not right with anything. And we as a country are going to pay the price for it unless we get back to where we were supposed to be. So liberals are a big part of the problem why Christianity is under attack. Because liberals, in their little pea brains, they cannot deal with a concept of something that is above them, a power and a calling and a purpose that is above their petty wishes. They simply can't deal with it. It's too complex for them. And that is a black eye on us as a society here in America. We have to fix that, because unless we fix that, we're not going to see prosperous times until we do. There's the fact of the matter. Liberals, they are a big, big part of the reason that Christianity is under attack. They have almost criminalized, in fact, they have criminalized the utterance of God, Jesus, religion, love of God and country in our schools. And another way that the liberals do it is in academia, in our schools. If you remember the 60s, when you had the free love movement and you had the flower children and everybody going around kissing, smooching, agape love, everybody had a Volkswagen with the little flowers and daffodils painted on it. Well, guess what? Instead of teenagers now they're in the Social Security years now. They couldn't get what they wanted through force back then. They couldn't get what they wanted through coercion back then. Now they're in academia, that being our public schools and our universities. So they're saying, since we couldn't get the adult population then, well, damn it, we're just going to get your kids, and we're going to get your grandkids. We're going to get you on the tail end. Now, I work for an extremely large school district. In fact, it's the second biggest one in the country. And I can tell you, beyond any shadow of a doubt, that if a kid even mentions Jesus or God or religion or heaven or hell in the classroom, they will suffer dire consequences. But at the same time, a child can stand up in that same classroom and blaspheme the name of God and Jesus. They can blaspheme society. They can clearly attribute antisocial behavior, and nothing is done because they're oppressed. They're misunderstood. They are a victim and a product of their environment. They must be given a pass. You see, for my employer, which happens to be the Los Angeles Unified School District, A child can't be disciplined for willful disobedience. And when I say willful disobedience, I'm talking about a child. That's right, a child. You are a minor dependent child. You are still in school. They can stand up, use profanity with a teacher, throw things at a teacher, completely disrupt the class, which years ago you would have got kicked out of the school for. Now they can no longer be expelled. Why? Because of the dollar value. Because a school gets money, so many dollars per student per day that a student is attending class. The truth of the matter is that the LAUSD is nothing but a whore, just like other big school districts. They will actually let a child who they know is a problem get up and disrupt the class simply because of the money. And that is not a good omen for what our society has become. It is sad, but it is a reality of what's going on today. Now, we've talked about liberals and their contribution to the denigration and criminalization of Christianity and how they attack Christianity. Then you got organizations like the ACLU, the American Civil Liberties Union, who says that their sole purpose is to defend the Bill of Rights. Now, for all the low-information voters, the Bill of Rights is the first 10 amendments of the Constitution. Amongst those, the most notable is the First Amendment, the freedom of religion, the freedom of press, the freedom of speech, the freedom of assembly, and then, of course, the Second Amendment, the right to keep and bear arms. The ACLU claims that their sole purpose is to defend the Bill of Rights, but yet they do everything to subvert the Constitution of the United States. My caller from the 310, I hope that's exactly who I think it is. Reverend, if that's you, thank you for listening, brother. I appreciate you calling in. You missed a little bit, but Reverend, what I've been talking about is that how the liberals and today, how they have criminalized the mention of the word God or the word of Jesus Christ or anything that has to do with organized religion in our public schools, where years ago it was a mainstay. It was something that transcended race, ethnicity, economic status. We all had the same standards and the basic standards to go by. And then if you deviated from that standard, especially if you deviated on the bad side, there was going to be consequences to that. And many times those consequences were severe. But today, deviation, opposition to the Word of God, and to the reverence of God, and to the notion of God and country, has become the mainstay. Because we have a generation of young people that are coming up that are taught in school by the liberals in academia that any notion of the reverence to God and country and to the Bible and to any other facet of religion is racist, it's bigoted, it's uncaring, it's unfeeling, it's unfair, and that it can't be allowed in a free society. But what these liberals don't understand is, if it wasn't for the God Almighty and our Lord, we would have no society. Once again, liberals cannot take on a subject where there is something and a power and a calling that is above their mere existence. They can't understand that. It's either they can't understand it or they refuse to understand it. But the point being, and having said that, we still land up with the same problem today. They can't understand the fact this is a country that was founded on Judeo-Christian principle. And until we get back to the adherence of same, we are never going to be a great country again. I hope and pray that we do get back to that. Now, liberals is just one facet of the attack on Christianity. They have made the mere mention of God and Jesus a criminal act now, where if you even mention it, if you even whisper it in school or in public or in a meeting or at a seminar or at an exposition or at a county fair or at a state fair, anything that has to do with admitting it in public, you better look out now, because they're going to come after you. The truth of the matter is that statistically, only about 3% of the population is atheist. These are people that don't believe in anything. They believe we're just being. We're just here. But yet that 3% wants to impose their will on the other 97% of society. And what's crazy is that the courts are letting them do it. How can three people out of 100 take to the other 97? As if we, as the other 97, are doing something to intentionally oppress them. Well, I got news for the atheists. You could sit there and take the position that there is no God, that there is no creator, that we're just being. That is until you get your ass in a crack. When you're in trouble and when you're scared out of your mind, or when you're in a war zone in a foxhole. And the old saying goes, in a foxhole, there's no such thing as an atheist. Because I can trust you, atheist. Believe me when I tell you this. The second, the very second that you get in trouble and that you're scared out of your mind, you are going to be reaching out to a deity to come and save you. And guess who that deity is? The one and only, the Lord God Almighty. Now, whether you want to admit it to yourself is another thing, because we know you're not going to admit it to the rest of society. But here's the fact of the matter. When you get in trouble, you will be calling on the Lord God to come and save you. Now, whether he does it or not, that remains to be seen. That's not up to me to say. But I can tell you this. You guys are part of the problem too, because you want to impose your beliefs. You want to impose your perspective on the rest of society simply because your brain cannot comprehend the fact, just like the liberals, that there is something in this world that is above you. There is something in this world, a purpose that needs to be served, that is above your petty wishes, that is above your petty desires. There is something that has to be served, and guess what that is? Your belief and your obedience to the Lord God. Now, am I offending a lot of people right now? Probably. But guess what? I don't care. Because this needs to be talked about. This needs to be brought out in the open. This is not a time for people to show cowardice, especially if you're a Christian. This is the time to stand up for the Lord God and the Lord Jesus, who died and suffered on the cross for us. Now it's time for us to stand up for him. It is the least we can do. He paid the ultimate price for us. The least we can do is stand up and protect his holy name as a country and as a people. And like I said, this goes past race. This goes past ethnicity. This goes past political affiliation. This goes past everything. We have to stand up and get back to our Judeo-Christian principles. Folks, this is the Acknowledged Show right here on Blog Talk Radio. The number 646-478-3229. For all those, excuse me, I got a cold. for all those listening, I really do appreciate you calling in. My caller from 310, I'm glad you called in there. And anybody that listens to this on download, whenever you have time at your convenience, which I completely understand, please share this with your friends and family. Because we're going to be in getting into a lot of other aspects of this now that we've talked about how liberals are attacking Christianity in schools, academia, the media. Christianity is under attack. But I got news for these people. They are not going to win. Because when they attack Christianity itself, they're taking on the big man upstairs. Now think about it. Historically, every tough guy that thought he was going to take on God, what happened to him? Think about that. Right here on the Signalis Show, the number 646-478-3229. We're going to go on to a break now. Oh, by the way, my caller from the 310, I promised you some music in Latin. Everybody, please sit back, enjoy this. You may not understand the words. Just listen to the melody. It's going to move you emotionally. Hopefully, we can start getting that consensus again as a country and as a people to get back to our Judeo-Christian principles and make this country great once again. We will be back in about 5 minutes or so. Stay tuned. Signalis Show right on Block Talk Radio. Acknowledged Show right here on Blog Talk Radio. And in case you're wondering who that was Globus and Crusaders of Light. And it's in Latin, and it's very powerful. It reminds you of the Gregorian chants. It reminds you of a time in the world when the reverence to God and country and a purpose that's higher than you was prevalent in your life. Now, we were talking about the way Christianity is being attacked today. We talked about the liberals, how they did it through media, how they did it through academia, with our children and our grandchildren. Now, Islam, the religion of peace. Now, I don't have to remind you of recent events in world history with the rise of ISIS and how they took 21 Christian men on the shores of Libya, bound them, and sawed their heads off, all in the name of Islam, Allah, the religion of peace. Christians are being murdered and slaughtered today. There are those that say that we are in the end times. I happen to believe it. I believe we are. Christianity is under an attack. If you are a Christian, you've got a bullseye painted on you. But guess what? We have the most powerful force in the universe behind us, and that is the Lord God Almighty. And if these Muslims knew what was best for them, they would drop to their knees right now and beg forgiveness for their blasphemy. If not, they are going to suffer the wrath of our God, the only God, the true God. He is God. Look throughout history. Every tough guy that tried to take him on, not only did they pay the price, they paid dearly. Unfortunately, the subjects that followed them were the ones that really paid dearly for it. But Islam, that is another facet of the way that Christianity is under attack. What we have now with the ISIS is that they are trying to reestablish a worldwide caliphate from the 15 and 1600s. Now, what I'm about to say is going to offend a lot of people. I don't care. This is the truth. Ye shall know it, and it shall make you free. The fact of the matter is that Allah is a false god. He was made out of whole cloth. They created him out of thin air. Muhammad, the prophet, in my opinion, was nothing more than a pedophile. He had young children, prepubescent children, as wives, and forced them to watch beheadings and killings. And this is supposed to be the religion of peace, as they claim. Now, there are those that say that Islam is not a religion of peace, that it is a religion of submission. Well, I got news for all you Muslims out there. As Christians, the only force that we submit to is the Lord God Almighty. And remember that. Before you try in the United States to try to make us submit to Sharia law, understand this. Christians do not have to be pacifists. We have to be forgiving. We have to be understanding. We have to exercise a modicum of control and restraint. But the Lord God never told us that we have to be pacifists and just let somebody come in and murder our women, our children, and subjugate them to slavery, rape, murder. No, not going to happen. And now I'm going to lump them in with the liberals because they have the same worldview. Because unless you're with the worldview, unless you're with the come here, come home, let's all feel good, let's all hold hands and sing Kumbaya, but with people like ISIS who are now speaking on behalf of every Muslim in the world. And by the way, if you're a so-called moderate Muslim and that doesn't sit well with you, then you better start speaking the hell up. Because I can tell you this, in this country, you're either with us or you're against us. Now, you keep that in mind when the shit hits the fan. You stand with us, you stand against ISIS and radical Islam, we'll stand with you. But if you don't, and you have to stand behind us, don't expect good things to happen for you. We are Christians. We are forgiving. We are understanding. But don't mistake that for cowardice. We are not pacifists. We will defend our country and our people and our families vehemently, even violently. Now keep that in mind, Muslims. I want you to keep that in mind very, very clearly. Now, in the Muslim world, especially, you know, when we talk about Islam, they are trying to convince the world that what is happening today is a war between Christianity and Islam, that somehow Islam is being attacked. Let me ask you people something. When is the last time you saw Christians take 21 Muslims, bound them, put them on their knees, and saw their heads off with knives on the shore of the ocean? When is the last time you saw that? Cat got your tongue? I rest my case. Here's the point. Is that Islam, however you believe, the truth of the matter is, you're worshiping a false god. He doesn't exist. There is only one God, and that is the Lord God Almighty. And that is the truth of the matter. Now, accept it, reject it, I don't give a damn. But that is the truth of the matter. Now, I'm not trying to sound like an evangelist here. I am not an ordained minister, nor do I care to be, nor do I claim to be. I'm just your average American guy that grew up in a time in the country when this was a prerequisite. This was compulsory learning. Just like troops in other countries are compelled to learn foreign languages and foreign cultures. Well, in this country, it used to be that the first thing that you learned how to do was pray. In fact, in the Holy Bible, a lot of kids learned how to read, reading the Holy Bible. And even more so, they learned how to read from the King James Version, which was the old English style. Cometh, thou, hast, this, thus. Very hard to understand. But then again, when we compare that generation of kids that had to learn how to read that as compared to the kids today, there's no wonder that the kids from back in the day are so far superior to the kids today when it comes to simple understanding. But when we talk about Islam, so-called religion of peace, it has been perverted, it has been co-opted, it has been subjugated into this radical belief that either you convert to Islam or you lose your head. And then when you tell them that the God that they worship, Allah, is a false God, he was created out of thin air, because there is only one God, and we as Christians can prove it, and that's the fact of the matter. We'll leave it at that concerning Islam. Next, we get to our good old-fashioned atheists and how they attack Christianity. Atheists are people that don't believe in anything. They're just numb to the world. In so doing, they're numb to their self. They don't believe in anything. They don't believe in right and wrong. They have no set of standards. They have no ethics. They have no morals. Despite the fact that they claim that they do, then when you ask them anything that's deeper past, where are your car keys or what did you eat for lunch today, they can't answer it. They can't answer it. Like, well, if there's no God, then how did the earth get here? How did the universe get here? How did anything get there? What's their claim? The Big Bang Theory. Well, who set off the Big Bang? Well, it just went by itself. Well, no, it didn't happen by itself. Something had to set it off. Where did it come from? Then they go into some obscure conversation to try to deflect the conversation. They say, well, how do you explain the dinosaurs? Well, nobody's arguing that. Fossilized record. They roamed the earth. They said, well, then that disinvalidates the book of Genesis, how God created the world in 7 days. Well, actually, it was 6 days, the seventh day you rested. So how do you explain that, Christians? Well, nobody said how long a day was. We just know in God's eyes, he said 1 day, 2 days, 3 days, 4 days, so on and so forth. They said, well, how do you know? We said, well, here's the thing. It's something called faith. A belief in something that you have no tangible evidence that it exists, but yet you believe it in anyway. And that is something, the belief, power, and a calling, and a purpose that was above any government official, or any person. It is one of the things that made this country great. That you could believe in something that you couldn't touch, you couldn't feel it, you couldn't smell it, you couldn't taste it, but you knew it was there. You knew it existed. My caller from 631, thank you for calling in. Appreciate you being here. You knew it was there. And as I said at the first of the show, I know this is going to offend a lot of people, but I really don't care because this needs to be talked about. We are in a time in this country when it is time to stop being silent. It is time to stop being timid. It is time to not be cowardice. You have to stand up. You don't have to stand tall, but you do have to stand up. Our Lord stood up for us. It's time we stood up for him. It is the least we can do. Now, there's going to be people to say, well, there's nothing we can do for him. Well, that's true. He's paid the ultimate price. But the point is that he did for us. The least we can do is stand up and honor the sacrifice he made for us. And that is something that this country used to do as a norm. That is something that made this country great because it instilled a unified purpose amongst the people. There was a certain set of standard values that applied, regardless of race, ethnicity, economic status, regardless of where you lived, who you lived with, how you lived. There was a standard. There was something that unified us all. And that was our adherence to God, first and foremost, and to country. And as I've said earlier, today, any reference to that is not only politically incorrect, it has been criminalized. And now in the world stage today, and we are living in a very, very dangerous time, we have the rise of ISIS. a band of Muslims who are bent on reestablishing a worldwide caliphate through hook or crook, through hell or high water, through subjugation, murder, whatever it is that they have to do. The sad part is that we have people in this country that sympathize with these bastards, that actually admire them for what they're doing. They have forgotten who they are. They have forgotten where they were born and how fortunate they were to be born an American, and the fact that the country was founded on Judeo-Christian principle. There are those in the Democrat Party and in the liberal ring of the Democrat Party that absolutely despise the mention of God and country. Case in point, 2012 Democrat National Convention. The word God was not allowed to be used at that convention, period. Let me say that again. A Democrat convention inside the continental United States, you are not allowed to mention the word God or Jesus or Savior or Messiah in that convention. And yet these people claim to be the party that's inclusive, that's sympathetic with the masses, with the poor, with the oppressed, with the disenfranchised. But yet they don't want any mention of the word Lord God or anything that has to do with it. Now, if you vote Democrat and you're a Christian, you better start questioning yourself whether you're voting for the right party or not. That is a fact. That's not opinion. That's a fact. They didn't even want you to say the word God at the convention, let alone the fact that Islam, we know what they're after. We know they're after reestablishing a worldwide caliphate, the reinstitution, and forcing everybody to submit to Sharia law. And I don't have to remind anybody what Sharia law is. For women that are subjugated to Sharia law, we treat our family pet better than women are treated under Sharia. They can't speak. They can't go out in public. They can't drive. They can't go to school. They can't assume any position or act of normalcy in society under Sharia. A woman has absolutely no rights. Well, I'm sorry. In the United States, women are not treated that way. They are not looked upon that way. When the pilgrims came from England, they escaped that for religious oppression. They wanted to be able to come somewhere where they could worship as they saw fit, where they could worship our Lord God in their own way, where everybody could be treated fairly and equally. They did not want to be subjugated to an ideology where certain people were put into a permanent underclass. And the truth of the matter is, and sad part is that today with Islam, you've got these so-called moderate Islamists and Muslims that claim that what ISIS is doing is wrong, but you never hear them speak up about it. You never hear them go public. Why is that? Could it be because secretly they approve of what ISIS is doing? They approve of the beheading of innocent people? They approve of the beheading of women and children and the rape of women and children and the enslavement of people who cannot defend themselves? Could it be because they secretly condone that? That's a very interesting question, isn't it, people? And they are attacking Christianity. That's another facet of how Christianity itself is under attack. Forget about your denomination. whether Catholic, Lutheran, Methodist, Baptist, Presbyterian, whatever. Christianity itself is being under attack. And make no mistake about this, folks. Muslims, especially ISIS, they hate us just because we are, because we exist. No other reason other than that. They hate us just because we exist. And we have a president of the United States that thinks he can reason with people like that. He can reason with the people that took 21 Christian men from Egypt, put them on their knees, bound, where they couldn't fight back, and you got these 21 ISIS cowards behind them, and that's right, cowards, they've got their faces covered because they don't want to expose themselves, as if they're hiding from a higher God, as if they're hiding from a higher purpose. I got news for you, thugs. The Lord God knows who you are, and he's coming for you. And God help you when he finds you. Well, he knows who you are. And he knows exactly what you're doing. He knows your name. He knows everything about you. And you better drop to your knees and beg for mercy. Because once you have to deal with him, you're going to wish you were never born. It's above and beyond anything we can do to you as a people. There's your fact. There's your truth. Deal with it. So Islam attacks Christianity all the time, and especially today. A worker beheads another co-worker in Oklahoma because she wouldn't convert to Islam. What does our president say? Workplace violence. We have a president of the United States who cannot even utter the words radical Islam. He claims to be a Christian, but he clearly doesn't act like one. Islam. Another attacker of Christianity. What we can do as Christians, we just have to hold the course. We have to stay true to our faith. We have to stay true to the principles of the founding fathers and how our country was founded. We have to stay the course. We are in the storm. There is no denying it. We have to maintain our composure, and we have to maintain our steadfastness, our diligence, and our conviction to what is right and wrong. And that is a fact. That is not opinion. That is fact. We have to maintain our Christian principle. And as I've said before in this show, there is nothing in Christian principle that says we have to be pacifist. We have to be forgiving. We have to be understanding. We have to be just, and we have to be fair. There's nothing in the scriptures that says we have to stand there and let somebody kill us. You don't believe me? There's 66 books in the Bible. Read through them. You'll find out what I'm saying is true. Right here on the Signalis Show, the number is 646-478-3229. And we'll be going into some more reasons why Christianity is under attack. So stay tuned here on the Signalis Show. And if anybody is listening online and they look at my show page on Blog Talk Radio, you're going to see a slideshow of pictures. American flag, bald eagle, so on and so forth. But on each one of those pictures, there's a red cross superimposed on it. That is the cross of the Knights Templar. I know I've got a listener right now that knows exactly what I'm talking about. The Knights Templar. The Knights of the Holy Roman Catholic Church. The Knights that were charged to defend Christians and other innocent, helpless travelers from murderous Muslims who were intent on murder, rape, extortion, kidnapping. Islam. The religion of peace. How do you like it? Not liking it so far, are you? Islam's not looking so good, is it? But that's your religion, and that's exactly what you condone. But guess what? We, as Christians, we worship the only true God that there is. That is the Lord God Almighty. Deal with it. Accept it. Because there is only one God, and that is our Lord God Almighty. You cross him, be prepared to reap the whirlwind. Because quite frankly, the repercussions on you for going against him are going to be far more than you can bear. This Acknowledge Show right here on Blog Talk Radio. The number is 646-478-3229. We're going to be going to another little break, and it should be noted that I am playing music, especially for the liberals out there who don't want to adhere and accept the fact that we are a country founded on Judeo-Christian principle. So I'm playing music especially for you to remind you exactly who we are and what we stand for, what the country was founded on, and what we need to get back to make our country great. The Signalis Show right here on Black Talk Radio. We'll be back in about 3 minutes or so stay tuned.
Of his terrible sweet soul.
That was the Mormon Tabernacle Choir with the rendition of the Battle Hymn of the Republic. Glory, glory, hallelujah. This Acknowledge Show right here on Block Talk Radio and the New Colony Network. Well, we've talked about who it is that's attacking Christianity. And sadly to say, it's coming from within. Not just from Islam and ISIS. It's coming from the mainstream media. It's coming from academia, inside of our schools, influencing our kids and our grandkids and our godchildren. Now, it begs the question, what can we do to reverse this? What can we do to fight this? Well, the answer is very, very simple. It's going to be very simplistic. Some people are going to raise their eyebrows and go like, well, it can't be that simple. But it is. Here's the answer to it. Stand up for what's right. Make your voice heard openly. Do not allow teachers in our schools to tell our children that the utterance of God or Jesus or Christianity is wrong. Make sure that our children know that it is right and it is righteous. Because, see, the truth of the matter is that liberals cannot argue anything on facts. They argue everything strictly from the hip and emotion. The second that you confront them with a factual basis argument comes the hate speech. You're a racist. You're a bigot. You're uncaring. You're unfeeling. You're unfair. Blah, 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 blah. The same dribble all the time. A liberal cannot argue with you on fact. And especially on something like this, on something that is a deep-seated conviction, and that being Christianity. And in Christianity, there are certain codes and morals that are to be adhered to. But with liberals, they can't adhere to it because they can't get past their own selfishness, the me, 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 instead of the us. They can't get past that. With Muslims and Islam and ISIS, well, what can you say? The only thing that concerns them is reestablishing a worldwide caliphate, either submit to Sharia law and become Muslim or get your head sawed off. They have openly vowed to come into the United States and kill every man and subject every one of our women and children and elderly to either rape, slavery, death, or any combination of the three. They honestly believe they're going to get that. Well, let me tell you something, Muslims, especially you cowards in ISIS. Try that in the United States. Try it. You're going back home to your land, wherever it is you came from. You're going back in a bag or in a box in pieces. It's not going to happen in America because there are still more people in this country that will yield to the power of the Lord God when it gets down to the nitty-gritty. Because there are still enough of us in this country that were taught and ingrained when we were very, very young that unless you have the Lord God on your side, don't expect anything good to happen for you. In fact, I can almost guarantee you that unless you accept the fact that you are ruled by a sovereign God and a purpose and a power that is above you, don't expect any kind of good things to happen for you, Don't expect any prosperity. Don't expect any peace of mind. It's not going to happen. You will, at some point in your life, understand that there is something that has to be served that is above you. Liberals, you better take heed to this. Muslims, what can I say? You worship a false god. You're trying to take on the Lord God Almighty, and I will pray that he will have mercy on you. But I, just in my opinion, with the way you're acting now, be prepared to reap the wrath of the Supreme Being. And I really feel for you when that comes down on you. Look throughout history. Every tough guy that thought he was going to take on God, they paid the price. Not only did they pay the price, they paid dearly for that. Unfortunately, their underlings, their minions, are the ones that bore the full brunt of their leaders' disobedience and disrespect and blasphemy to Christian principle and to love of God and country. There it is. You heard it right here on the Signalis Show. The number is 646-478-3229. To anybody listening to this on download, please share this with your friends and family. Now, along the lines of what we can do to fix this, if you're a Christian, stand up and openly pronounce your faith. Stand up and openly pronounce your love of God and country, your support of the Constitution of the United States, which was written on Judeo-Christian principle. More than that, if you really want to turn this country around, look out for those who cannot look out for themselves. Whether they're doing it willfully or whether they simply can't look out for themselves, it doesn't matter. As Christians and as Americans, we are obligated to defend those who can't defend themselves or refuse to defend themselves because they're willfully ignorant. Because we know, in the case of those that are willfully ignorant, those are the ones that can do the most damage to society as a whole. So we must assume the leadership role. We must assume that they are not going to stand up for themselves, so we must stand up for them. Other than that, we leave their faith into the hands of our God. God is not a dirty word. Jesus is not a dirty word. That is something, those are two words that used to be revered in this country. The thought of God, Jesus, love of God and country, of right and wrong, of what is moral and what is immoral. Those are things that made this country great. Things that transcended race, ethnicity, political affiliation, economic status, whatever. We realized that we were all under the thumb of the same God. And to all those members of the mainstream media that want to demagogue, slander, and criticize every Christian in this country, understand this. There will be a day of reckoning for you. Pray for you. But I also know, because of my Christian faith, and those listeners out there who are Christians, they know what I'm talking about. I know because of my Christian faith, unless you repent, unless you start coming around and start acting right, you are going to pay the piper. You are going to reap the whirlwind. You are going to come head to head with something that you're going to wish you never came to head with. Because our God is all powerful. He's omnipotent. He's everlasting, all-knowing, all-powerful, exactingly perfect in every detail. I'm sorry, liberals, if you have this vision that God is just a made-up word, that he is a figment of our imagination. Pretty soon, you're going to find out that everything that you believe, that your own selfishness, your own self-righteousness is going to be brought to the forefront, and you're going to have to answer for it. And as far as the country is concerned, every person in this country that is a Christian, we must stand up now and openly profess that we are a Christian country. We are founded on Judeo-Christian principle, and we will fight back and counter everything that comes out of the putrid, evil, left-wing media's mouth. We will stand against radical Islam, and we will stand against anyone who tries to defile and blasphemy the name of our Lord God, because it is our faith and our respect and our reverence for our God that even allowed us to become a country in the first place. Because I can guarantee you that every one of the founding fathers, besides being Freemasons, they were devout Christians. They could recite the Bible to you backwards and forwards, upside down, inside and out. Everything in their being, every decision that they made, every position that they took, all boiled down to their faith in the only one true God, and that is the Lord God Almighty. Liberals, Muslims, and all you atheists, and all you non-believers, you had better accept that fact. There is only one God, and soon he is going to make his presence known, and those that believe in him will reap the reward. Those of you who don't, and those of you who decided that you were going to blaspheme his name and reject him and mock him, be prepared to pay the ultimate price. You heard that right here on the Signalis Show, right here on Blog Talk Radio, the number 646-478-3229. I want to thank everybody that listens to this show on download. Please share this with your family and friends. To all my caller from the 310, my caller from the 631, thank you for calling in and listening to the show. I'm glad you called in. Please share this with all your friends and family. So we're going to be on next week, next Tuesday, with another subject. We'll probably be talking about more about Jade Helm 15. But tonight, I wanted to get this message out because this is something that America needs to hear, because it is the truth, it is everlasting, and it will be proven right. Remember this one thing. If you don't remember anything else from this show, just remember this one thing. There's only one God, and he is the same God that even allowed this country to exist. He is the only God. I'm sorry, Muslims, you're worshiping a false God. He doesn't exist. There's only one God, the Lord God Almighty and our Lord Savior, Jesus Christ, who paid the price for all of us. The least we can do is stand up for him. Because remember, unless you profess him, he will not profess you to the Heavenly Father. Remember that. That's what you need to remember. So, folks, thank you for tuning in to the Signalis Show right here on April the 8th in the year of our Lord, 2015. I hope you enjoyed the music. I hope you enjoyed the show. To all my callers and listeners, thank you for calling in. To everybody who listens on download, thank you so much for listening. Please share it with family and friends. Until then, we'll see you next week. So until then, God bless you. God bless America.